It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And it is the 4th of July.
Not yet, but soon.
Well, when you're hearing this, it's probably after the 4th of July.
Hopefully you've had a great weekend.
We're way backed up. But there's a couple of differences with this show, for being the 4th of July. First of all, we're going to talk about the most patriotic superhero ever, Captain America. That's our topic for today. Also, because it's 4th of July, we are not having coffee.
No, we are having our favorite summer drink.
Yes, we're having our favorite summer drink, which we're all holding up to our microphones for some reason.
Cheers.
Which means we've had too much of it.
Cheers. Or not enough.
Yeah, it is. We've discovered Goose Island makes a root beer. That's amazing. And if you put Captain Morgan rum in it,
it's extra. It's like whatever is above amazing, it's that.
Yeah, it's golden.
It's golden.
I'm off beer. I haven't had a beer in months because I would just keep drinking this. So this might be a very different podcast. And the third reason it's different is that we finally have Stu McLean here.
Hello, everyone.
In the studio at last.
Yeah, Stu is like the last core member of Chimeras Comics.
Yeah, Stu is the reason we're doing HeroClix and that we're probably still open.
Yeah, and we've been trying to get Stu in to talk about HeroClix, but now it's 4th of July. And Stu is wearing a Captain America hat.
Yep.
So that qualifies him.
He's a big Captain America fan.
Yep.
And this is the Captain America podcast.
And our other semi-regular, I think you've been promoted to like the Dave Redfield level at this point.
Yeah, I'd say.
Is our comic book historian, Joe Pekovitz.
Hello, hello.
Yep.
He is our comic book historian.
He is. He also lives three doors down from the studio.
It's so convenient.
So it's
how convenient.
So easy.
How convenient.
Yeah, when we're running low on guests, I'm like, are you home?
Could you stumble over?
Yeah, would you like to be not home for about an hour?
We'll give you rum.
So because of the 4th of July, again, we're talking about Captain America, and he's a really interesting character to me because I feel like he shouldn't work. And as we've talked about on other podcasts, I have some problems with Superman. Not that I dislike him, but I think he's kind of outdated.
Yeah.
And Captain America should be outdated, but for me, he isn't.
That's the point of Captain America, is that he's a man out of time. He's from the 50s. You know, the way he views the world is different than the way the world views itself.
Yeah. And I think that's important. Maybe that's how he has stuck around, as, you know, Cap did the, you know, World War II, you know, fighting the Nazis, frozen in time, comes back years later, and it's like, you know, there's so much to mine from that, from like the man out of time stuff.
Yeah, and that's the genius of Stan Lee, because here's a character who's just custom made for World War II, literally. The first issue, he is punching Hitler in the face. Yeah. It's like there's no reason that you should want to read a Captain America comic from 1946 on. But I think it is probably that genius of Stan Lee of making him the man out of time and making his values out of step, which in the 60s, there was a culture clash, but that culture clash has never been resolved. We're never going back to a 40s style of America.
No.
We're not going to be on the same page again, and he's the perfect foil for how we view ourselves now compared to that time when we were all unified and everybody was together.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good contrast for, you know, everything was really black and white then. Nazis were trying to take over the world. They were cooking people in ovens. America came in and shut that whole thing down. It's like, there's clear good guys, clear bad guys. And you get in some, like, Vietnam, and it's like, well, who are the bad guys? And it's like,
we are.
Yeah, we look like, you know.
And that's that great story in the 70s when he becomes Nomad. When he's like, I'm not Captain America anymore, but I am going to stay a hero.
Yeah. You know, was he still using a shield as Nomad?
No, he lost it.
No, he had a cape.
I remember he had the cape, but did he have any kind of weapon or anything?
No.
It was pretty much just him as Batman without all the tools.
Yeah.
He
had a motorcycle.
I just assume, I love that Cap always has a motorcycle.
Yeah. He always has a motorcycle, but it's never iconic with him. You know,
no.
It's never like Cap's not the guy. I mean, he's not Ghost Rider.
Right.
He's never the guy on the motorcycle, but it's not even as iconic as the Batmobile.
Yeah.
It's just when you see him on a motorcycle, you go, oh yeah, Cap rides a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And they try to usually style it after like a 40s, like, whatever they were driving
military,
around in.
Right.
Yeah, like a military style motorcycle. But it's like, you're right. There's never like one iconic look, you know, except for that one in that Captain America movie, Captain America 2,
awesome.
Where it had 70s? Like a clear shield on the front of it.
Well,
yeah, and he had that helmet.
Yeah, it's the worst thing ever. He would take the windshield off his motorcycle and throw it at people.
Yeah.
That was basically, it was really bad. It was like, it was kind of like the bat shield that was
plexiglass. Even like in the new Captain America movie, they gave him that Harley, but it was like
that
so bulky.
Was awesome.
And it was,
yeah,
it looked
was
great,
cool.
But it was like, the thing was like so bulky.
And he did put his shield where the windshield was being, but he was looking over it.
That's cool.
I do love that movie.
Yeah,
that is a fun movie.
I watched it at the shop.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Cap is Captain America has never been one of my favorite characters, but like the Flash, and we talked about this before, about the Flash. Every time I see him, I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah,
I'm never that motivated to read him. I do love the movie, but I he's never top of mind for me.
You know what I think too about it is, you know, and it's at least something I associate with like the Flash's redesigned costume that Carmine Infantino came up with, right?
Yeah, the Silver Age one.
Is a great costume.
Yeah,
like,
that's a classic.
Unlike anything at the time, really. Captain America's is like the same thing, where it's such a cool-looking costume. It's like, who would think, like, red, white stripes, like, you know, from the chest down to the belt, white sleeves, the big gloves, the Buccaneer boots, and, like, wings on the side of the head.
There's
and the
so much of that costume that shouldn't work.
That's
just
what I'm saying.
Like
it's like every single thing I could think about that costume, if I described it to you, you'd be like, oh, that doesn't sound good at all. Like an A on the forehead, wings on the side, Buccaneer boots, and he's in the 40s.
His short sleeves.
Yeah. Chainmail.
Fishmail.
Which has been out of...
Chainmail just on his chest and nowhere else.
Right. Yes.
And the red and white stripes look like a girdle.
Yep.
But
and
yet,
he's got a star on his chest.
Yeah, and he's got pirate boots.
Got elf boots going on.
And it's like, he's got elf boots and chainmail, which has been like an irrelevant technology for the last 400 years.
And he cut his ears out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he can hear the
He's the only superhero with exposed ears.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Okay.
Hawkeye was deaf in
one ear.
You know what?
In one ear.
I was actually bringing this up. Hawkeye is deaf in either one ear or both ears, I think. And no one addresses that anymore.
They just dropped it. It was very big around.
It got retconned.
Did it really?
Did it?
Heroes Return, when he got brought back to life from Franklin Richards, he had perfect hearing.
Oh, really? That's because
that was part,
that'd be
it was
such
part
a...
of the Hawkeye Limited series, which rolled right into West Coast Avengers. That was a major part of the character.
We talked about that in the book we were just flipping through with the your favorite Ian Churchill penciler. It was all the Jarvis answering fan mail.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I heard Hawkeye was deaf. He answers that question.
Oh, really?
And he answers like, is Falcon a mutant? He's like, for the 100th time, no, Falcon is not a mutant. He can just talk to birds. Like, don't worry about it. It's cosmic and Red Skull.
Don't worry about it.
It's comics.
I like Jarvis books. I like Jarvis writing, don't worry about it.
I do like that Jarvis answers Avengers fan mail.
Yes.
What I don't like is that they retconned Hawkeye's hearing, because I think that'd be so cool for Matt Fraction and Ron and Hawkeye's new comic is like, hey, look, he's also deaf, which is a little bit more interesting, you know.
There was
then.
The three times he was taken apart like Lego blocks and put back together by Scarlet Witch.
Yeah,
maybe, like, she put the ear back better.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But there was a story about a year ago that like a mother wrote in and said, my son is hard of hearing.
Yeah.
Are there any superheroes that are hard of hearing? And Marvel said, yes, there's Hawkeye. And that got like a huge thing in the press.
It got a huge boost, and then they invented.
So I'm surprised they didn't bring it back. I'm surprised, especially with the new Faction Run, which is almost a bit of a reboot because it's such a clean start.
Yeah,
for him.
Pretty much. I mean, they're not really referencing anything that had come before there, other than his relationship with the Young Avenger, Kate Bishop, Hawkeye.
Or make it like Professor X, where they'll heal Professor X, and instead of retconning it, they'll injure him again.
Yeah, and it's just like how
it's
many
like you could injure his hearing again.
Yeah, I mean, he's setting off enough concussive arrows. You know, it's like one detonates too close to his head. And it's like ruptures an eardrum.
Marvel No Prize. Do you remember? Do you know how Hawkeye damaged his hearing?
I never read the story.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I know.
Wait, was it a circus accident?
No.
No.
Damn. Was it the Swordsman?
No. Happened while he was Hawkeye and a car-carrying Avenger.
Really?
It happened in the Hawkeye Limited series.
Yes, I believe it was Egghead, but I could be wrong. I forget the villain. Someone was mind controlling him.
Mm-hmm.
So to get out of the mind control, he takes a sonic screamer arrow and sticks it in his mouth and sets it off and just blows his own eardrums out.
Yeah. Because Hawkeye's awesome and you don't fuck with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
That's
because
also the same Limited Series where he marries Mockingbird. They did. Yes. He did a lot in those four issues.
He got a lot. He did more in four issues than I've done in 27 years of my life.
Well, they went from zero to married in 9 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's literally married on the last page. They just show him in like a hot tub. And he's like, so now we're married.
It's like, well, that happened between the panels.
But he is just Captain America's
you guys don't
sidekicks. Let's get back to Cap.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Trained by Captain America, which is why he's better than Green Arrow in every way. whatsoever. But they both have exposed ears,
and they both have masks without white eyes.
Yes.
And the letter.
Although Hawkeye had the white eyes for a little bit.
Yeah. True. They also have like the letter though. H. You know, and Hawkeye wears the chainmail. He had chainmail for a while too.
Well, Hawkeye was really influenced by Cap after he was a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Hawkeye was originally an Iron Man villain, and then when he joined the Avengers, really spent as much time emulating Cap as fighting Cap and telling him he sucks and that America sucks and so does apple pie and why Hawkeye should lead the Avengers. Yep.
But even in that original Iron Man, and I'm so threatening to turn this into a Hawkeye podcast, that original Iron Man issue, his first appearance, he's not a villain.
It's a misunderstanding, isn't he following around the Black Widow?
The Black Widow was manipulating him.
And she, because right all original Iron Man villains were behind the Iron Curtain.
All of them. They're all like Russia, China. Yep.
Communist villains.
Yep.
Which never got into that with Cap. Cap never really had international villains for the most part.
Other than Red Skull, he never really picked up anybody else later.
He had Batroc the Leaper.
Okay.
One French villain. No, the Grey Gargoyle is French.
Yes. Yeah, but he was a Thor villain.
Yep.
But it's not like one Captain America's picking a fight with Captain Pakistan or picking a fight with Captain Australia.
Commissar Iraqi.
Well, that would be too obvious.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been an issue where Captain America fought Captain Britain.
They teamed up a couple times.
I always wanted to see him fight Vindicator.
Yeah.
An Alpha Flight.
Yeah, there is a...
Allies. We friends.
Every team-up starts with a fight.
Yeah, that's misunderstanding.
True. Look at Spawn Batman.
Okay.
Let's not.
Do we have to?
Let's not. So back to Captain America.
Make everybody angry.
And there's rum in the room.
Yeah. Everybody got angry.
Then there's rum in the room.
Yeah, we'll do... It'll be a fist fight.
Yeah.
Spawn sucks. No, one of my favorite, like Captain America for me, growing up, Cap was never my favorite growing up. Now I'd say he's in easily my top three of favorite heroes. But I realized one day is like, someone asked me like, oh, who's your favorite? And I'm go through and I look at all my trades at home and I'm like, wow, Captain America. It's like, I have a lot of Captain America stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't like, at the time, like I didn't think of myself as liking Captain America that much. Like a big Cap fan. And then it's like, wow, I got so many good Captain America stories. And it's like, he's the go-to guy. Like, anybody has a problem in the Marvel Universe, it's like, Captain America says, oh, do this. Nobody's questioned. Everyone's like, okay, you got it, sir.
Yeah. I mean, it's even something they did when Secret Wars happened. It's, you know, Marvel's big first crossover, and all the heroes that are together. You've got, like, Xavier's there, Magneto's there, Cyclops is there, Mr. Fantastic's there, and they're like, who should lead? And everyone's just like, well, Cap should lead. And it was like the first time where it's like, well, yeah, Cap's the focal point for the Marvel Universe. It's like,
And Wasp was the leader of the Avengers, and he's like, well, I don't even lead the Avengers. And Wasp's like, we're not the Avengers.
Yeah, but she's just you like, we're not everybody. The Avengers right now, and we're in a huge crisis. Like, we don't know what, you know, this is uncharted territory. Yeah.
And all of that is, even though he doesn't have any really superpowers. I mean, he's got the serum, but he doesn't fly. He doesn't have
X-ray
vision.
But the serum only makes him as good a shape as a human sentiment. Can be. He's Batman's equal.
Right. He's Batman's equal chemically.
Yeah.
Well, you know? But he doesn't get fatigue as easily as Batman. He's got better than human stamina.
Yeah, he's like maybe slightly above what a human can achieve. It's like there's human perfection, and then there's maybe like a sliver hair higher, and that's Captain America.
The one time they fought, it was a draw.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no, in George Perez and B6 run.
Yeah, how did that one?
Captain America. Well, they keep like testing the fight, like they're like on a roof, and they like keep hitting, and they're just doing like testing blows, and then Batman actually stops the fight and says, "Look, you could probably beat me, but it's gonna take a long time for you to do this." Like to the point where Batman even recognizes he'll beat me, but it'll take
an hour. We don't have an hour to spare.
Yeah, or a day for all we. Yeah. I mean, who knows how long that fight would have been? And then they go back to the Batcave and they start to figure out from behind the scenes what's going on. That's another great book too.
Yeah.
Well, there out of print.
Three Batman Superman crossovers I know of is the one Steven just mentioned, a classic John Byrne or Claremont one.
Oh, the Generations. That's John Byrne. Yeah.
Yeah, one where it's set in like the 40s with classic Batman. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Marvel DC crossover.
That's what I was thinking of, the All Access mid 90s.
Yeah, but that one I don't count because they voted on
that. That was a fan vote, and Batman
won. That was also the fan vote where Wolverine beat Lobo.
That's without adamantium too.
How is that a contest though? Wolverine. They couldn't even
show it. They were like fighting in a bar. They both fell behind the bar, and only Wolverine got up. I'm like, because you can't explain how Wolverine, who can barely beat Captain America, could beat Lobo, who's as strong as Superman.
Yeah, yes.
There's and no has, reasoning behind.
Yeah, it's Superman with regeneration powers, right?
Yeah.
Well, the thing that bothered me about the Batman Captain America is the way I'll accept that. Fine, Batman wins. It's a fan vote.
But which is
the
horseshit.
Way they had him win was they're fighting in the sewers. The sewer system flushes, and they both get nailed with water. They both get time off for one throw. Batman throws a batarang. Captain America throws his shield. Cap misses, and Batman hits.
Yeah.
Bull.
Yeah. Just think about that. Batman uses like 30,
okay.
30 different like weapons, not all like throwing weapons. Cap has one weapon, and he throws it. That's the thing he does.
Yep.
It's like the only person to be more dangerous than Cap's shield is Bullseye.
No, my favorite moment is of Cap is that Captain America number 2 by Mark Waid and Ron Garney, where he, first of all, that whole issue is incredible, but like the first page, he walks out onto the deck of an aircraft carrier, he checks the wind, and then he throws the shield up in the air and it's gone, and a Hydra agent comes out with a hostage, and he just sits there and waits, and the shield hits the Hydra agent right in the neck and knocks him down.
That's awesome.
Because he had it planned. And actually, when we met Mark Waid at Oh Yeah Comics, I got Joe to buy that issue and get it signed for Mark Waid.
Nice.
And I had him sign the hardcover that had that issue in it, because it was such a perfect Cap moment. And the interesting thing for Cap for me is, as we were saying, he's kind of the moral compass of the Marvel Universe. And when they first came out with Sentry, and they said, well, what if the Marvel Universe had a Superman? My first thought was Marvel Universe has a Superman, and it's Captain America.
Yeah.
Because Captain America embodies all the values of Superman does. He does the right thing. He's upstanding. He's the truest hero the Marvel Universe has. And as we were saying before, the genius of Stan Lee is that he gave each of his heroes a fatal flaw. And for Captain America, it was the fact that he was displaced in time.
Yeah, it's like everyone he knew, you know, is old or you know, in the 60s or now, because they keep kind of retconning when he comes back.
Didn't have to tarnish Cap's image.
Yeah, it's just like everyone he knows is dead, you know. This is a guy who's come like a completely different value system. I mean, to the point, and I think they did a limited series, I think Mark Waid wrote it, and it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Man at a Time.
Maybe it was Man
Sentinel
at a Time
of and they Liberty, were, where it was Iron Man, Captain America, where they fought for the first time.
No, this was something where like it was like Cap had like time traveled or something weird. I can't remember.
That was Man Out of Time. Which, Stu, what you're thinking about is the Sentinel Liberty series, which ran like 12 issues. That's also great.
Yes.
And Iron Man had like the pointy head.
Iron Man had the pointy helmet. And it's,
oh, in the corners, yeah.
In the corners.
Yeah.
It's literally like 2 days after Captain America gets unfrozen out of the ice with the Avengers.
Yeah.
So it's like one of these like in between the issues type stories. Was it Mark Waid that wrote it?
Yeah. It was when Mark Waid was writing the Captain America series and was doing so well, they were like, do you want to kick off the second series? And that was one of the first stories he told in it.
And it was, I don't remember why they were fighting. Either someone took over Iron Man's armor.
Chameleon. No, I think that's real. I think Chameleon is in like Avengers Mansion or something. It's the first time he fights Iron Man.
Okay. Well, he's fighting Iron Man, and Iron Man's like, I don't know how I can fight him without killing him. I'm going to just stomp him.
Yeah.
Cap, like, jumps over a building, and he's like, oh, when, you know, the last time Cap was in New York or in Brooklyn, you know, there was, that Yankee Stadium was there. Now it's a freeway, and Cap just lands, and he's like, what the hell is a freeway?
Yeah.
You know, and he's, like, dodging cars and trying to jump off cars. And within 5 seconds of doing that, is able to like pinball off all the jumping cars to take Iron Man by surprise and hit him so hard that it like knocks out his flight abilities.
Yeah.
It's like any situation he can turn to his advantage. And it's like he doesn't think anybody could really beat Captain America on paper.
Yeah.
But then it's like everybody's got a plan till they get punched in the mouth.
Right. Well, that's the thing about Cap too, is that he's not just like physically super awesome. It's mentally too. He's going to be the best strategist in the Marvel Universe. He's going to, you know, he was trained as a military genius. You know, it's like he knows how to lead troops. He knows how to inspire people. It's like he's going to find a way to win any fight the Avengers or whoever's going to come up against. But it's like, it's a thing. And I think that's like, it was like Mark Waid or Mark Millar, one of them did it, where it's like even the air content of New York City is completely different now than it was in the 40s. So it's like every single thing about coming back, it's like a different world completely, you know? And what's kind of a shame is Remender's doing Captain America now, and John Romita's finally doing a monthly.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous book, but Cap's in like Dimension Z or some Zola thing or whatever. And it's cool, but it's like it's 12 issues.
I didn't get past issue one. I read issue one and I'm like, this isn't. You know, not to be the fanboy. I mean, I've been railing against fanboys for not liking the twist in Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
This is not what I expected, but I read issue one and I'm like, this isn't what I want John Romita Jr. to be drawing on Captain America.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if it's what John Romita Jr. wants to be drawing. Maybe he does want to be drawing like dimensionals and monsters and stuff, but maybe...
I mean, he does that well. He did that a lot in Straczynski's Spider-Man.
Yeah, Straczynski's Spider-Man, there's a lot of monsters. I mean, that's all he was drawing in Thor were monsters, right. You know, X-Men.
I
mean,
he can draw anything, but I really wanted to see him do a very real world Cap. Yeah. Especially after the movie and after Avengers.
Yeah, and I think that's what Remender was going for. I read the first issue. He wrote an interview or something. He was just like, look, we wanted to do a Cap book that hasn't been done before. And it's like, take Cap out of America. Take him away from that. Mm-hmm. What does Cap represent anymore? And then it was still, okay, he represents all these good morals and good ideals, but it's like, now he's fighting for survival, or he's fighting for this. He's not fighting for like a cause anymore. Like, he's not defending America or defending innocence. He's trying to survive in this crazy dimension where that those colors and that symbology, it doesn't mean anything, you know? And I think that's what they're trying to do when they're doing like flashbacks to him as a kid, which is interesting, but
yeah, I'm kind of ready. Experimenting.
Yeah, and but 12 issues is a long experiment. Yeah, that's a year.
But you know what? If you read the trade and it was 12 issues long, you'd be like, I can read this for 2 hours.
Yeah. Monthly is a tough pill to swallow.
There's a very different feeling coming back every month to a character than reading a big experimental story.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, when I'm reading it every month, this is who the character is now. And if that doesn't jibe with the character I love, then it bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having that trouble with Iron Man. I mean, he's been flying around in space for 6 months, and I'm like...
With Death's Head.
Yeah, but now they're doing this whole story where, like... Howard Stark gave him superpowers and the wound.
I don't like when they do that, because then it's just like, then he didn't make himself a superhero.
Yeah, it's retconning.
I like it when
I don't like the retconning of the origin.
No, I like it when Iron Man's a jerk.
Self-made jerk.
He's a complete douche, gets injured, and then decides midway through his life he's going to be awesome and be a superhero. And it's a total twist on... you know, 360 on where he was going with his life, because he doesn't go to Vietnam or whatever and get injured and have the shrapnel heart thing. He just lives out his days being a playboy philanthropist,
and that,
you know,
that's
tool.
The story of Iron Man 1. That's what makes that.
Dies of throat cancer.
Yeah, no, right.
That's what makes Iron Man 1 such a classic. I really think in 20 years we're going to look at Iron Man 1 the way we look at Richard Donner's Superman.
Yeah.
That movie, I mean, seeing the two sequels, I like both sequels.
But they don't hold a candle that first one.
Yeah, it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, all the sequels are good. None of them are...
Nothing really measures up.
None of them are perfect.
Yeah,
it makes you realize how perfect that first one is.
Yeah, the only movies that even come close are Avengers and even Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America is so good. And Captain America 2 is going to be dealing with this man at a time, which... You know,
yeah, they. I guess in the original cut of minutes. Avengers, they were supposed to deal with, but then they realized, well, we're going to do a Cap movie. All these kinds of things should be addressed in a Captain America movie. You know, it's like they're going to do Winter Soldier, they're going to do Falcon, and it's going to basically be like, how does Cap deal with Blu-rays? You know, right. It's like,
and Haley Atwell is supposed to be in it as like an 80-year-old woman.
Really?
Yeah, they were set photos this week of her with like this long white wig.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I forget, somebody's playing Sharon Carter.
Nice.
It was supposed to be Alison Brie, which meant that the universe made sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I think she didn't get it.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, because the guys directing it did a lot of Community, so they knew it from there.
You know, but I mean, that's my concern, at least in, you know, Captain America making Captain America movies. It's, you know, Avengers, they got it, no problem. They got the Avengers. But after you do Winter Soldier, that's really the big, big Captain America story in the last forever. What else do you do?
Yeah, my thought of that is, I think, since Captain America is not Iron Man, not in terms of the character, but in terms of how the movies are doing, I think Avengers 2 is going to change everything again. Yeah. So when we see Avengers 2, then we're going to be like, oh, that's what Thor 3 is going to be. That's what Cap 2 is going to be. If there's a Guardians of the Galaxy 2,
yeah,
you know, or an Ant-Man 2, that's what they're going to be. But I think that's going to shape it. I could see a third Captain America. And obviously, the second one hasn't been made yet, so... And the Avengers 2 hasn't made it. I could see that's where he asserts himself and becomes less of a follower. And I could see Captain America versus S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a lot brewing about how Sam Jackson lies to everybody. He's not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he's too big a name. He said he wants to do voiceovers, but they're not going to extend Nick Fury's story.
Well, I guess...
There was talk of a Nick Fury movie, but I think with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
I think
that's
they're
not
lumping it
happen.
Into... I think I read something that said Scarlett Johansson and Nick Fury are all going to be in Cap, and it's going to be based off a Scorpio storyline or something, where, like, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s corrupt and Nick goes on the line with Cap.
And this is how he was like, oh, I heard this.
Yeah, who knows?
But
it's a gossip podcast now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's the Captain America movie. And then that will kind of expand into, because I heard that there is a Hawkeye, Black Widow Nick Fury movie coming out, where it's like a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie that it's just basically those three.
And I could see that working. I mean, Jeremy Renner, Scarlett Johansson, Samuel Jackson.
They could carry
that anchors
they,
the movie.
They could carry, you know, and it's like if you set up some stuff in Cap with Winter Soldier, either, and then whatever comes out next, the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, you can set some stuff up with that.
Right.
And then the, you know, the Hawkeye, Black Widow, you know,
the S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick, movie.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
much,
movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could set up some stuff. And I think this is an interesting thing to see a TV show that ties in with the movie universe.
Yeah.
That really hasn't been done before where it's, you know.
Yeah, it's always been kind of cart leading the horse. The closest thing I can think of.
Wouldn't Firefly, like Serenity, be like that?
Well, Serenity came out.
Well, the TV show drove the movie.
There was there was the X-Files movie where it was like season 5 ended, they had the movie, and then it came back to season 6. But in season 6, they were kind of afraid to talk about the movie.
What about Star Trek?
Yeah, Star Trek.
Star Trek, there was always a clear division where it never influenced it that much. Probably the biggest influence was in First Contact, they all got new uniforms, and then the next week on Deep Space Nine, they were all wearing their uniforms.
Yeah.
But they kind of kept it separate. Or in Star Trek 6, which was the last one with the original series, Spock showed up on The Next Generation.
Yeah, because you can watch the movies and or the TV series separately and not miss anything. Yeah. You didn't have to.
Yeah, I think they'll try to do that with the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. They'll want to make it so you don't need the movies. But
if it's like Avengers where everybody's seen it.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's seen Avengers.
Why not play with that?
Yeah.
And at some point, they have to do a story where Captain America stops being Captain America because he's done it more than once.
Maybe three people will be prepped for it.
Yeah, but and I think, don't you think everyone's going to want to see him as Captain America? It's like Nomad's not iconic. No one knows who that is. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be too tricky.
Mark Waid also did that story with Man Without a Country when in the 80s when he became the captain and wore the U.S. agent uniform.
Yeah.
It is a trope with Captain America to quit
being Captain America.
Yeah, because he has personal problems with the government. So that could very easily be a third movie where the second act he's not Captain America. You see him in the beginning, and then the third act he reclaims it.
Bucky be Cap in the third one, depending on how Winter Soldier goes.
With Winter Soldier.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then get his arm ripped off and hit in the face with it.
Did that happen?
That happened. Scotty. Fear itself. Yeah.
And it looks like in Winter Soldier he has the cyborg arm.
Yes, I saw pictures. That looks awesome.
Set photos. He looks exactly like
that. That's what I'm saying. He looks just like the, you know, the Upting art, and that's awesome. It's like anytime the closer they follow the comic, I think sometimes the better. I don't want to be too of a purist, but
That's the thing. Like, that's what I loved Iron Man 3 is it's like if they were going to do that, you know, in Armor Wars or something direct from the comics, it's like that'd be cool. But then I know what's going to happen before I even step into the theater.
Right.
I much was happier with Iron Man 3, something that goes spits in the face of the comics to a degree, but surprised me. It's like I will sacrifice the comic accuracy for the surprise and the entertainment of a good story.
Right, because you got to take chances. You can't just do the same thing over again because it gets stale. And you don't get character development that way. Like, one of the things about Cap, we talked about his leadership abilities and the positive things about him. I think if he has any challenge, it's that he doesn't change. He can't really get out of that 40s mindset, and it plays off of the other characters, like in New Avengers, where they kind of knock him out and say, we're going to work around you because you're not going to be on board with what we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, the newest issue of, or well, at least the new Avengers is basically, you know, it's an Illuminati book, and they decide, well, look, Cap's not going to do what needs to be done. You know, we're talking about blowing up entire planets. He can't be part of this because he will fight us until...
He will not. His morals won't let him do this.
He'll exhaust everyone on the team because it's like, this is the guy that single-handedly pretty much kept Civil War going. Where it's just like, look, I don't agree with what Iron Man's doing. Without Cap, no one is going to keep fighting.
Captain America does not lose well.
No.
Civil War, it's like, oh yeah, Cap, you got outvoted. No, Civil War.
Yeah.
It's like the whole siege thing, you know, and it's just like he's just standing out there with all the guns, man in the line. It's like, you know, he talks smack to Odin. It's like Captain America does not handle failure.
But we're always on his side because I remember when Civil War came out, you remember the press about Civil War was it's going to divide the Marvel Universe right down the middle, and you as the reader decide who's right. You know, they're like, and they made a big point of splitting the Fantastic Four down the middle. Like, Sue goes one way, Reed goes the other.
Yep.
But because Cap is always right,
it
immediately turned into Iron Man's terrible.
Iron Man's a dick.
And that's why I have a problem with Civil War is because I'm a much bigger Iron Man fan. I had the same realization you did looking through my books of like, oh yeah, I've always loved Iron Man. I loved him in the 80s and I loved him in the 90s and I loved him, you know, before the movie came out. And it's like, this is a character who's been a constant with me that I wasn't paying as much attention to as I was Batman or Spider-Man.
And I had the same problem with Avengers versus X-Men. You know, they turned him into kind of a dick.
Yeah, because Tony can be wrong, but Tony's not going to give in if he's wrong. And Tony is fine with a Pyrrhic victory. Tony is fine betraying his friends to do what's right. I mean, every 5 years, Rhodey tells him off.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, where Cap is, you do the right thing, and, you know.
But every time with Cap, like Civil War, basically, the first shot fired in Civil War is he goes onto the helicarrier to talk to Maria Hill, and she's like, and she tells him, is like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this registration act.
Just assuming he's going to lead the strike teams.
He's like, I'm not going to, beat up and capture my friends that are just doing a civil service that have been, you know, patriots for the last 20 years. And then rather than, like, he's just talking normal debate to her, nothing crazy, and she has everybody just start firing at him.
Yeah.
Like, she starts Civil War just because she's, you know, thinks she's hot shit.
And that's another thing, too, is, you know, I don't know what the ranking is in, like, Air Force or Army or anything, but Captain's not that high. But the way all these soldiers and S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, even in those couple pages there, everyone pulls the guns on him. He's like, hey, everybody, lower your weapons, stand down. And then Maria Hill has to be like, guys, what are you doing? He's not in command. He's just captain, and, like, it's a ceremonial title. He's not an actual captain. I'm a colonel. Stand down. And it's just like, everyone always listens to Cap, no matter what. It's like, this guy just commands the room.
And that extends to the readers, because you get 2-3 issues in a Civil War.
Yeah.
And you're like, who am I to say Captain America is wrong?
Yeah, that's the thing.
If I'm going to choose between, not who do I like better, which was how they were trying to play it. They were trying to play it like Avengers versus X-Men, Marvel versus DC. Like, oh, who do you think would win in a fight?
Yeah.
But when when it came down to it, and it was a moral schism between the two, you're like, okay, I know Iron Man's been wrong like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Who am I to say Captain America is wrong?
Actually,
and it quickly became Cap is the hero, Iron Man's the villain.
Yeah, but Captain America once said he was wrong at the very tail end of Avengers versus X-Men. He comes to the realization that, wait a minute, maybe the mutants do have a point. And that's when he starts trying to include mutants in the Avengers and Avengers activities.
And that's something that bothered me to no end, because this is a guy who, you know, the second Iron Man and Thor and Giant Man and Wasp quit the Avengers, Cap made 50% of the Avengers fucking mutants. Like, he brought on Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, who were mutants. So right from the get-go, he was doing something better than Charles Xavier was, where it's like, oh, you have a team of mutants who's just going to fight mutants? I'm going to put mutants with Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and we're going to fight and defend everybody.
And they were villains.
And they were villains.
They
at
were
the time.
All villains.
Right.
It was Cap and 3 villains.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Two of the mutants.
Yeah. And that's
one guy with no powers.
And that's what I've always kind of gone to is,
and
like, look,
Stan called them the Kooky Quartet.
Cap's
Kooky
Quartet.
Rather than Captain America and a bunch of criminals.
Right.
Yeah.
Captain America and the Masters of Evil.
Sound as good. The kooky criminals of calamity. They're just kooky.
Yeah. But that's what's so frustrating about that at the end of AVX, when they're like, Cap, you never did enough for the mutants. It's like, he's done more for the fucking mutants than Charles Xavier. It's like, Charles Xavier had a gang of mutants fight a gang of mutants. It's like, how is that?
Charles Xavier found all the mutants he can and made them live upstate where no one else lives.
Yeah.
Where apparently there's one pub and one dance studio.
Yeah. And they have to always get in the fancy Rolls Royce to go to New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, to fight Unus the Untouchable.
And then even AVX.
It's hard to fight a guy who's untouchable.
Yeah, they figured it out.
There's always like 10 pages of, I can't hit him.
It's like, yes, we know how your powers work.
And
you're untouchable. It's in your name. You actually don't have to demonstrate your powers, because your name says all we need to know.
Well, when your name is Eunice, you need to add something after that.
That's what I'm saying. Eunice the Untouchable. Then you don't have to demonstrate his powers. He's telling you what he can do.
Yeah. And he wears
touch me.
And he wears a sweater.
He wears a wrestling uniform,
An old, like, 40s wrestling uniform.
Yeah, because, you know, the 60s.
They should reboot him as Hulk Hogan if he's going to be
That would be awesome.
What you going to do, brother?
Yeah.
You can't touch me.
Big handlebar mustache. He's like, you can't touch me, but I can rip my shirt for no reason.
Yeah.
Go to show how strong he is, because, you know, fabric is such a densile material.
No, he'd be like a new Clorox mascot. New clean whites. Untouchable.
Untouchable.
Or he'd be someone in India that everyone looks down on. I'm Eunice, the untouchable cast.
You cannot touch me.
Well, there's this theme song. You can't touch this.
Oh, there you go.
We have totally degraded off Captain America.
I now apologize to all of our listeners.
Here's
out
a way
there
to get it back. I bet Captain America could still hit Eunice the Untouchable with his shield.
He'd figure it out.
He'd figure it out. He would
put Vaseline on it.
Does anyone remember when Iron Man tried to improve Captain America's shield
with the magnets?
Yes, yeah,
magnets. Yeah. That was Kirby too. That was like, yeah. And he had these big like he had like four circles, and he's like, I can call it back to me. And then one issue, he's just like, Nick Fury's like, hey, where'd all those magnets go? He's like, they suck.
Yeah, I think it was a different shield too, because the
he built him a new shield.
It had like an inside lining. It didn't like.
I thought vibranium wasn't magnetic, or have they not brought?
That's why he had an interior lining.
That up.
Whole interior line.
I thought he pulled out the straps and he put in like a hub inside the shield because he said it threw off the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, and that's, I guess that's what we keep coming back to with this podcast is there's something simple and, you know, not to be too on the nose about it, but pure about Captain America that when you screw with him too much,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
You know, Rob Liefeld took the A off his forehead and people went insane.
Yeah. And he put an eagle, which probably is better graphic design, the eagle thing on his head.
Yeah.
It's like the A is so much simpler, more iconic.
Yeah. Yeah, like, and people hated it. I mean, the eagle on his forehead had wings, then he had wings on the side of his head. He also gave him a chest that was 72 inches long.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If that story had some better artwork or a story, you know, people wouldn't have minded the eagle on the forehead.
Yeah, it was just
that it was Liefeld, and it was a terrible story, and it was terrible artwork, and it was just...
Yeah, I mean, really the biggest change, and they've done bigger changes, but the only one that really stuck, because, you know, they made him Nomad, they made him the Captain, he picks up Thor's hammer. The only change they always go back to they get rid of the triangle shield or whatever, that like classic looking shield, and the round shield is the biggest change that stuck.
Yeah.
Is that it's much more easier. It's something you can throw. You can at least think it'll come back.
And the only reason he went to the round shield was because...
he lost the other one, didn't he?
No, Simon and Kirby got sued.
Yeah.
There was
fighting Patriot.
It's in Marvel Comics, The Untold Story. There was another character called The Shield, who had a diamond shield. They sued Timely.
So they had to get rid of it.
And then Kirby and Simon
and
just
honestly,
turn it into a circle, and it's like, well, now you can throw it like a Frisbee. And you're right.
It's actually more intuitive.
Made the character better.
It is. Yeah. It's a better weapon. It's a bigger shield. And, I mean, it looks awesome. I mean, that design for that thing is just really, really cool looking.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's something where it's like, that's really the only change I could think of that stuck, that they were like, you know, like I said, every time they make him Nomad, he's back in, you know, 2 years tops. He's back to being Cap. You know, even recently they made him Steve Rogers, Colonel Rogers, or what? He was going to be like the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because
Bucky was still Cap.
Because Bucky was Cap, and then they were like, how do we get him back Cap for the Avengers movie?
That's what Fear Itself was.
Because he represents America, and whereas America can lose its way sometimes, it always comes back eventually.
Yeah, as Cap's
even, even if America doesn't come back, it's that feeling of America is so perfectly embodied in Cap. It's like that 50s America. I was just thinking about post-war America, about how, you know, it was this idyllic time once we beat the Nazis and everybody was prosperous. And that lasted like 20 years, really. I mean, it lasted until Vietnam. That kind of, you know, the
really,
60s
yeah.
wiped out the post-war America. And now we, you know, we live in a country that's vastly different from the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, the 20th century created the middle class. Now we're dismantling it.
Right. It's just interesting that there was so much we were always going for. It's like we were unbeatable. It's like, you know, we enter World War II. We help end World War One. We end World War One. You know, with the rise of the automobile, we end World War II. We come out of the Great Depression. It's like we went to the moon. It's like we're doing all these awesome, awesome things. And then it's like, and then like we assassinate a president. We assassinate Martin Luther King Jr. We assassinate that president's brother. We go to Vietnam. It's like we just repeatedly just got hit in the scrotum and like just shut it down.
Yeah, pretty much from the time I was born.
Yeah, pretty much around the time John showed up. It's all been downhill.
My bad.
That's all right. Oh, I don't know if it's your fault. It's just coincidental.
I created it all. Yeah. Chico and the Man, that's my fault.
As far as we know.
Mr. T? No, I can't take credit for Mr. T.
No one can except Mr. T.
Mr. T should team up with Captain America.
I would read that.
They had to have done a team up.
No.
Not at all?
Not even an advertisement?
We got out of the late 80s, early 90s without a Mr. T Cap crossover.
Mr. T in the 80s, and see, Steven, you're not old enough to know this.
No, I was, I missed a lot of the
80s. Mr. T had his own cartoon, so his
license,
Marvel couldn't use it. His license was bought and paid for by somebody else.
Well, our Man of Steel podcast quickly turned into a Mr. T podcast.
Yeah.
With Jimmy and Muscle, we talked more about Mr. T than we talked about Superman.
I didn't know we had that much to say about Mr. T.
That's, I mean, he was in Blues Brothers. He was in the Blues Brothers.
Was
movie.
He? In the movie?
That was his first. Did you ever see the...
He was a bouncer back then.
Do you ever see when Conan hosted his show in Chicago for a week?
Yes.
I could not...
Yeah, at the Chicago Theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had Mr. T on as a guest, and it shows and slows down It was Mr. T's first acting role ever.
Did he have the mohawk then?
He was an extra.
He was born with that mohawk,
I think.
In
the scene where the Bluesmobile...
Shaved head.
Yeah, where the Bluesmobile drives through McCormick, or not McCormick.
The mall down south that doesn't exist anymore.
No, towards the end of the movie, Daily Plaza.
Daily Plaza, yeah.
Mr. T was one of the unpaid extras that was in the crowd scene that got paid a sandwich.
He worked for a sandwich.
And they
give me a sandwich!
I paid you for a weekly sandwich.
Yeah, he was in Blues Brothers.
That's awesome.
I was actually by the Joliet prison today when I got my tires. That's where I went.
Yeah.
We're totally off topic.
Way off topic. I don't know how we get here.
This is how the show works.
Yeah.
Pretty
Captain
much.
America, Joliet Prison, it's all the same thing.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same.
If it's not entertaining, it'll get edited. That won't get edited.
Well, even if you go back to, like, trying to swing it back, you know, when they were doing the Ultimates, when they launched all the Ultimate stuff, there was talk of we'll update Cap, you know, instead of being during World War II, he'll be during Vietnam, and we'll freeze him. You know, he'll be created for the Vietnam War. And then it's like, and then they were like, this is crazy. That World War II stuff is just so good to mine. And in fact, that first issue is all Cap in World War II. It was supposed to be, you know, Cap goes in World War II, gets frozen, wakes up, the Avengers assemble, and like that's the first issue. And the whole first issue was just Cap in World War II and then him getting frozen. That was, it was like the whole thing. And it's just like
the first issue of Marvels.
Yeah.
Is all in World War II. And Marvels is only 4 issues long.
A lot of time focusing on Cap and the Human Torch and all those characters.
Yeah, the Invaders.
You know?
I remember buying that first issue when it hit the stands, and everybody said, this is going to be something. It was like one of the few times everybody was right.
Yeah.
They were like, you have to read this book. This is going to be really amazing. And it had the acetate cover, which was like, it had a gimmicky cover, but it was very classy.
Yeah. And there was a higher print quality on that book, I guess.
Yeah, it was a $6 book.
Yeah.
And I remember getting to the end of it, I'm like, we're not even in the Marvel Age. This is all just all about Cap and Human Torch.
It ends with Ghost Rider? I don't understand this.
Yeah, it ends with them jumping into a Nazi installation camp. I'm like, where's the Fantastic Four?
Yeah. Yeah, you think that would be their big piece would be the Fantastic Four, but it's like, well, no, they went back and did all the timely stuff.
It is. That is so rich, and World War II informs them so much. And even when they did change his costume, like they changed the Ultimates, they took the wings off. That's about it. And they made
the
costume from being like
same.
A skin-tight suit to being like heavier khaki, which is what he wore in Captain America. And In the Captain America movie, like, it looked good in some scenes, and some scenes it looked baggy and dumpy. And then, but when they went to like a form-fitting superhero suit for Infinite Avengers, nobody liked it. And Winter Soldier is going to have a totally different outfit.
I think it's going to be the same thing where it's like it'll just change every movie until they find something and be a little different every
from
movie.
From what I've seen, it looks like his Commander Rogers uniform with the helmet.
Hmm. Oh,
so it's
so
it has a star in the middle,
and
it's blue, but it's got the stripes the way he did when he was Steve Rogers.
Right, and he's got that like brown like holster thing. Yeah, I mean, that was a really cool look, but like I said, I'm always just kind of waiting for them to just go back, and there's the classic Cap with the, you know, they'll never really do the wings sticking out. You know, be printed on the side of his helmet, which is cool. I thought the Avengers
costume looked great. The 1990
movie
did the wings sticking out, and they also gave him rubber ears.
Rubber ears. But I think it looked great in the Avengers. I thought that costume was awesome looking. I didn't have any problem with
it. I would have preferred a little closer to the Captain America movie, but I'm not going to complain about the Avengers costume.
I liked it. And I know they were tweaking it to the end because he was supposed to have exposed ears. If you look at the Hasbro figures, all the Hasbro figures have exposed ears.
Oh, yeah?
And the way the figure is made, there's like a hard box over his ears. It's not form-fitting. So I think at the last minute, they were like, ears aren't working. Just design something that we can stick on this existing costume.
Yeah.
Because we can't make a new mask.
Yeah, they don't want to mess around with it too much, you know. But like I said, it's, you know, we'll see what this in, you know, how long in that movie he maybe is going to wear that Commander Rogers uniform, but it won't be long.
That's always the issue in movies, too, is when an actor becomes known, you don't want him to wear a mask the entire time.
Yeah, I hate that.
I know. The Spider-Man movies always found the worst excuses for him to tear off his mask. There was one, Spider-Man 2? He's like, I got a cinder in my eye.
He just
rips the whole thing off and throws it away.
On a train car with a million people.
Yeah.
It's like, and they're all looking at and they're all staring at him, and they're like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, none of us are. Everyone in New York is so nice.
Yes.
They're so nice.
250 strangers know who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
And no one's going to take advantage of that.
And no one had a cell phone. No one had a cell phone to go.
It was still 2004. That's when that movie came out.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pre-iPhone is a different.
It's pre-iPhone
universe,
but I think
it's flip phone universe.
Yeah. I'm just past the flip phone now. On my.
Your phone looks like a phone that's just been flipped.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just been flattened out.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah, does that make you a bigger Captain America fan than an Iron Man fan because you're afraid of technology?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Are you a man out of time, Steven?
I think I feel like sometimes I'm a man out of time.
You're definitely a man out of time.
I'm for sure, because I am so far behind on my own generation. Well, Stu's like this, too. It's like the guy can't even check his own email. You know, it's like...
HC Realms.
He goes on the internet when Matt tells him or to check HeroClix.
This is why it's taken 6 months to get Stu on the show.
Because he's like podcast.
We asked him like about the third one. And yeah. It's like, and then we emailed him the date, which he never read.
No,
because I'm talking into the right end of this, right?
Yeah, he's using the microphone right now.
I can hear you. Yes,
I can hear him.
That's why I pointed it at you that way. I didn't think you'd touch it. Right. Yeah, there.
I think Cap's tricky too. Forget Avengers for a minute. But how many good Captain America runs are there in comics? I mean, there's not nearly as many as there is, say, Batman or Spider-Man.
No, but I would
say... He's definitely a harder character to get right.
True.
Mm-hmm. You know? But it's like, you know, Brubaker's had huge success with him recently. Mark Waid before him.
Yep.
And then maybe you go back to, what, the Kirby stuff?
Stern.
The Kirby Steranko. Stern Byrne run is short, but it's good. And honestly, the Mark Grenwald stuff is decent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was on that book for like 17 years, something like. He was on there for like a Chris Claremont long amount of time.
Yeah, never even heard them talk about that run.
It's the biggest thing he does is create U.S. Agent.
Yeah,
that's probably the biggest part of his run. But he was on it for a long time. He created the whole Serpent Society, and honestly, all of the late '80s crossovers, all that Mark Grenwald stuff. I think Wade replaces Mark Grenwald. He did that story at the end where the super soldier serum goes wrong and he has to wear cap armor.
Yeah, that's awful.
I was just going to ask who was responsible for that, because that's probably the worst Captain America.
Yeah, and that felt like a writer from the 80s trying to be 90s.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I got to plus them up. Everybody's got, like, guns.
Armor and stuff and pouches.
Yeah.
Give him a bandolier of pouches.
Well, at least they didn't give him a mullet.
Right.
Yeah.
U.S. Agent had a mullet, though.
Did he?
Jack Flagg.
Yep. John Walker.
Yeah.
John Walker had a kicking mullet.
It's ridiculous.
Blonde mullet.
Yeah.
Not a mullet.
So did I, for that. At the same time.
Glad
I totally had a mullet.
I missed that. I'm glad.
Yeah. I don't know if you were born.
Yeah, possibly. 86, baby.
That might have kept you. You were born in 86? No, I had the mullet then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a mullet, and I was a baby.
Yeah, you had hair.
Yeah.
You're lucky to have that.
If I had hair.
If it's negotiable now,
who can say?
But yeah, the thing about Cap is, I feel like how you always hear that Batman is the one Marvel character in the DC universe. I think Captain America is the closest thing we have to a DC character in the Marvel universe. And the thing that makes him interesting is playing that contrast over everybody, because he does seem like, personality wise, he seems like somebody who fits in the Justice League.
Yeah, his closest flaw. Is the man out of time stuff. You know, that's the closest thing.
And
you
that he's unbending. It's kind of like he can kind of be the turd in the punch bowl sometimes.
Yeah.
He can kind of be like, all you people are wrong. And they're like, yeah, Cap, you know, what you're saying doesn't fit with society. Well, society is wrong.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised.
Gonna hit it with this big round shield.
I'm surprised they don't do more of just Cap just completely out of touch.
Well, and I think they were playing with that with AVX-1. I thought AVX started well. Like that conversation with him and Cyclops. And that was the one time I was like, I'm on both of these guys' side. Because they didn't automatically make Cyclops a dick or Cap a dick like the
Days
of War.
Who shot first?
Yeah, okay, there. But, you know.
Up until that, though?
Up until that, they were.
Where it's just like Cyclops is like, I'm a dick, get off my island. When Cap's just like, hey, man, we need the Phoenix is coming. Bad shit's going to happen.
Which is interesting because have the Avengers ever had like a big run-in or had to deal with the Phoenix like the X-Men have?
No.
No.
Every Phoenix story has been completely X-Men.
And I think that's the problem is there should have been a story like 10 or 15 years ago where the Avengers fight Phoenix and it's just completely out of their wheelhouse and they can't deal with it.
The big moment in that, and they even do it in the X-Men animated series, was when the Phoenix flares over Central Park. There's a panel of everybody going, huh? And there's a panel of like the Thing getting out of their shower. And holy Yancy Tree, what is that? And Spider-Man's like, my head hurts a lot.
Yeah.
But nobody does anything. It's right. Like, they're all like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen, and I'm a superhero. Oh, well, back to work.
Because think about this. This is kind of like if Ultron shows up and is like, I'm going to wreck it, and the Avengers go to fight him.
Ultron is Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
And then the X-Men show up and they're like, hey, we have to deal
voiced
with this.
Voiced by John C. Reilly?
We have to deal with this Ultron situation. He's out of control. And it's like Cyclops. And then Cap's like, well, we got it. Don't worry about it. We handle Ultron. And then Cyclops is like, no, we're going to take care of this. Like, what the fuck do you guys care? Ultron, he's an Avengers problem.
That's like in an Astonishing X-Men when they're fighting a giant monster. And then Fantastic Four shows up and the thing's like, what are you doing? Giant monsters is our thing.
Yeah. It's our signature piece.
And that's what the problem with Shared Universe. I think we talked about that on another podcast is every book has to raise the stakes. And you raise the stakes where the whole world is in jeopardy. If you're in a shared universe, they always have to come up with a reason. Like in the 80s, the classic thing was, and the Fantastic Four and the Avengers are out of town.
Yeah.
They would call and get the voicemail, and like they'd call the Baxter building, and there'd be the half robot receptionist.
Yep. They're in a different dimension right now. Try back in 42 days. You know,
yeah, something. And the Spider Man's like, gotta do it myself.
Yeah.
My favorite story of that was when Spider Man fought Fire Lord. Did you ever read that? And he's like, it's like during the black costume run, and he's like, well, I guess I got to do it myself. And then he gets so into it that at the end of this tour, the Avengers have to pull him off.
Oh, wow.
Because they're like, we're here now. We're the Avengers. And he's like, yeah. It's like that scene in Christmas Story where Peter Bingley fights the bully. And his like, nose is bleeding and he's cursing. And they pull him off and he just starts crying.
And that's one of the great Spider-Man covers, too, where they're like, you can't beat Firestorm. And Spider-Man's like, yes, I can. And you see him bending over him. He's
it's like one of them. And who says that? Captain America.
Captain America.
And Captain America's shocked. It's like a Ron Friend's like, Spider-Man.
He's getting violent.
We never did this in the 40s. We just watched Preston Sturges movies. You know what? That's
another thing, too. Captain America's a soldier. He killed people.
That's a big thing.
And I'm just saying, like, you know, people didn't mess around in the 40s. Where, like, everyone was so innocent in the 40s. It's like, no. My favorite part of Ultimates is when Cap finds out that Hank Pym is beat Wasp. It's like, oh, okay, I know how we deal with this.
He kicks and the shit out of him.
He kicks the shit out of Hank Pym, because it's like, that's what guys did back then. You find out somebody's messing around, you know, beats up a girl, you beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. And that's when Cap has done wrong, is when they try to make him Superman, he's like, I don't kill and I stand up for the... It was like, you shot Nazis in the face every single day.
Every day he wasn't killing Nazis, he was wasting time.
Yeah, when they put a holster on his belt again, I loved it. I'm like, absolutely. He should be as good with a gun as he is with a shield.
Yeah.
You know, because he, you know, obviously he hasn't left World War II in his mind.
Well,
you know, he hasn't gotten over it and gone, well, that was that, and now I practice these other things.
Yeah.
Well, they asked him, it's like, hey, Cap, why don't you use a gun? Oh, bullets don't bounce back.
I can't catch the bullets.
You know, the shield comes back. The bullets don't. Yeah.
But you know what? If a Hydra agent shoots at him with a gun and he takes him out, he has no reason not to grab that Hydra gun's rifle and
run down. He doesn't have to reload a shield.
Yeah, I think shield never runs out of ammo.
But I think that makes him more interesting is that he should be not as bloodthirsty as Wolverine, but he should be the one Avengers like, what? That guy was going to kill everybody, so we should kill him.
Yeah. Well, I think it should be something where it's, you know, sometimes, you know, where he is, yeah, let's kill him. But then other times it's got to be like, no, there is a better way. Because I think still even there is a mentality of there is a better way to do this. But... like I said, if it's a soldier and it's an army, like when Kang invades with an army of time travelers, and it's an army with like guns and soldiers taking over countries and killing people, Cap's gonna go in there and fucking kill time traveling terrorists. Like he's gonna kill them. You know, it's
a dude robbing a bank.
He's not gonna kill the wrecking crew. It's like he's just gonna beat the tar out of them and you know leave them in a dumpster with a soap. You know,
he doesn't use excessive force. But he also is not gonna draw the line short of that line. If the line is killing,
he'll go there.
Yeah,
he will go there.
Yeah.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week. So since we're Cap themed, I think we'll each pick our greatest Cap moment. Doesn't have to be a story. Doesn't have to be a Captain America issue. It can be pretty much from anywhere. Stu, you look like you got something already.
I was just laughing at that soundbite that I've never... Because I am anti...
Have you not listened to our podcast?
Not one.
That would involve him having iTunes. Stu doesn't know what that is.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That also explains why it took you so long.
Yeah.
Well, now you have to go first, though. Oh, that's your punishment.
All right. I got nothing. My Captain America shield, just because...
You tell the story about that. Yeah, we never got to that.
Okay, I have a actual metal, life-size Captain America shield that on the inside of it, over the last 3 years, maybe four, I have been taking with me to conventions and having people, you know, artists, creators, writers sign. I've got Perez. I've got Mark Waid. I've got
Stan Lee.
Stan Lee on the. I was building up to that one. Thanks, John. Thanks.
Well, you got stuck.
I know. But yeah, on the front of it, I have Stan Lee, and right in the middle of the star. But I've just been. It's pretty nice. It's a nice. It's my favorite thing of comic memorabilia. It's almost full, so now I'm going to, maybe we'll make that as a discussion or maybe let people decide.
Yeah, there's a good 60, 70 signatures on it now, would you say?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, and I've got people that have nothing to do with Captain America just because what else am I going to have them sign that's cooler than this? Like, I got Joe Barr from Crow. But it's, you know, after the shield's full, I think I'm going to do like an Iron Man helmet and have people sign that.
Get Bob Layton to sign that.
That'd be cool.
You know, then do like a Mjolnir and have him sign it in like a silver.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
The big three.
That's an amazing idea. I didn't think of going further than that.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that shield, I'm like, that is such a cool idea. And I'd never seen, and he already had like most 90% of the signatures probably when I.
And it's also good because seeing Stu walk through C2E2 with it. Like, it's very easy to get people to sign stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Stu with it just raise the shield and be like, Mark Waid, will you sign this?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's a shield.
Everybody's like, really? Yeah, sure. Like, Jimmy Palmiotti, I had him sign it at C2E2. And he saw, like, Stan Lee on the front and all the people. And people are like, yeah, I'll sign it, sure. People that normally were charging autographs, like I would have them sign it and I go to pull out my wallet and they'd be like, no charge, just because they're like, they think it's cool that they're on the shield with everybody else. Awesome.
Yeah,
it is really cool. That is a great one. Joe?
Mine is issue 2 of the first Mark Waid run. This is an amazing book. John hit me onto it. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. Mark Waid
signed my copy. It's a fight in a submarine. There's almost no dialogue. But just the way he writes it and the way it's drawn is just amazing. That's the one where he loses his shield.
Yeah, and it's gone for a long time. He gets that electronic shield.
The energy shield.
Yeah. The energy shield was awesome.
Yep. There was a variant Marvel figure, I think Commander Rogers, that had the energy shield, but I never found it.
Never could find it, but I
did. Never showed up at the store.
No. Nope. I did make a Hero Click of the Commander Rogers with an energy shield custom.
Ah.
That's awesome. HeroClix is a whole podcast.
That's just wait.
It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming. I don't know if it's my favorite, but it's one. When I was reading it, I was really kind of surprised they went there, and I had assumed that they'd already done this. It's John. I don't know who the writer is. I don't think he's still writing in comics, but John Cassidy was a miniseries Captain America, or the start of
John
a miniseries.
John Ray Neighbor. Yeah.
Yeah.
They rebooted the.
They
series
rebooted it.
That.
Yeah, and basically, there's a terrorist attack on American soil. You know, these terrorists take over a small town. Cap goes in. You know, he's beating all these guys up. He's disarming all these people. He's like running through the town, and it's really, really cool visual stuff. And then he gets the hold of the terrorists, and he has no other choice. He has to kill him, so he breaks the guy's neck. And then everyone's like freaking out because it's a guy dressed up in the American flag killing, you know, Islamic terrorist or whatever. And then Cap takes his mask off and addresses the nation while all the live cameras are pointing. He's like, look, America didn't do this. Don't blame America for this. All you would-be terrorists out there. My name's Steve Rogers. Blame me. I've been Captain America since 1942 or whatever. And that to me was just a really cool, like, other than just being a really visually cool book, that was really just like, you know, it's something where it's like he didn't want to put anybody else at risk, didn't want to put the country at risk for what he was doing. It was pretty much just, look, I'm just going to own this. Like, my name's Steve Rogers. This is something I did. I'm responsible for this.
Yeah. For me, it may sound easy, but it's the movie. And the thing about the movie that put it over the top for me, and I didn't realize this till the second trailer, was that it has Tommy Lee Jones in it.
Yeah, he's really good in that.
He single-handedly pushes that over the edge in a way that he doesn't even bring to Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm enjoying it at a certain level, and then he comes in, and it just spikes. Yeah. My favorite line in the whole movie is when Steve Rogers is still skinny and he's struggling through basic training, and Tommy Jones goes, look at him. He's making me cry.
Yeah.
Dead fat. As soon as he says that, I go, I love this movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm down with everything that happens in it. And it is a movie where I don't know why it's not bigger than it is, because it's part of Marvel Phase 1, which is the biggest cycle of movies going right now. It's so good, and Cap is represented so well. Nobody ever talks about it, you know.
Captain America is not the flashy villain. You know, not the flashy superhero. He's not the Batman. He's not the Spider-Man. He's the boring superhero.
That movie's not flashy. That movie's 40s style down to earth.
Yeah, yeah. There's not a gazillion CGI effects. Didn't that also come between Iron Man and Avengers?
I think it was
came between Thor and Avengers. I think it was the last film before Avengers.
Yeah, I think we had already seen Thor, but then Avengers came out. Thor
was
the
beginning of that summer, and Cap was in July, and the biggest marketing mistake I can imagine was they put it out in the middle of July. They did not put it out 4th of July.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, that's actually
We're
really
putting this
weird.
Podcast out 4th of July weekend. Yeah. It's such a no-brainer.
That's kind of ridiculous. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, that was a mistake.
But that's crazy.
I'm sure somebody lost their job over that.
Or there was something like what came out 4th of July weekend that
yeah,
year.
Yeah, that's what I got to remember. It might have been like Cowboys versus Aliens or something that ended up not
yeah,
doing that
like,
well.
Like they were
but
scared.
They were afraid
oh,
of,
they didn't
yeah.
want to compete with it? But yeah. who wouldn't go see Captain America on fucking 4th of July
they
weekend?
They had Harrison Ford in
and
Cowboys
it was great.
And Aliens. I don't know.
Actually, I showed it to Joe the first time. He didn't go to the movie theater to see it. So when I had the Blu-ray and I got it, and we were drinking. I don't know what we were drinking. We were drinking something. But in the middle of it, we were drinking enough to get loud.
Yeah.
And about an hour in, Joe goes, I know how you like this movie. Looks like Indiana Jones. Yeah. I was like, yes, it does.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch it again.
And again.
And again. And again.
And it is the movie where when Avengers came out, a friend of mine was in town that week, and we took her to see Avengers, and all she had seen was Iron Man. And when she left, she goes, you know, I want to see all the other movies. And I knew we didn't have time to show her everything. All I showed her was Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say other than Iron Man, it's the strongest out of all the single standalone films.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think because it's such a strong core character. Well, this has been fun. As always, you can follow me at Not In My Book on Twitter. Like the Caffeinated Comics page on Facebook. Send us a review on iTunes. Give us a shout out wherever you can. Leave us a review. Tell us if you don't like it. Tell us if you don't agree with stuff. I love it when people do via mail and we don't have any.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, if you go to the main page, if you're listening to this on iTunes, if you go to caffeinatedcomics.blogspot.com, that's the main page of the podcast, and you can leave a comment on any episode. Dave Gonzalez once texted me about 20 times because he disagreed with something we said on one of the podcasts, and he said, you have no comment threads. Now everyone knows we do.
There you go.
But this has been great. Steven?
Oh, I'm at always 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
Yeah, and Joe and Stu, I know you guys are barely digital. So
all that stuff you were speaking is like, so this is what it's like when I'm talking about HeroClix and people
to everybody
don't
else.
Know what that,
yeah,
they mean.
When our eyes glaze over.
You're having trouble with the headphones.
A little bit.
You're like, why am I looking at you and hearing at you somewhere else?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, hey, Steven's
your modern technology confuses me.
Magic.
In the computer?
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!